In one sense, this whole, what I'd like to preach about has to do with the second reading, even though I'm going to talk mainly about the gospel. The second reading has that great thing in there about take off the old self and put on the new self, which is Christ. And I always thought, God, that's a great idea. How do you do it? So here's the thought. First thing I get, the word manna. They had manna in the desert. The word manna, it comes from Hebrew. There are two words, and it means, what is it? Or, what the? You have given us, what is it from heaven? It's very interesting. Talk more about that someday. Okay. It seems to me that we get 4 weeks of John's gospel about the bread of life. At least that's what it's usually characterized as. But I'll tell you, last week's gospel and this week's gospel deals more with the crowds who came to Jesus. And I think I see this as kind of a the way the gospel sets up the situation in which Jesus can speak more tellingly to the people. So, just remember what happened last week. Jesus was out there with all these people. He was teaching, and then he said, let's feed these folks. And the disciples went, oy vey, what do we do? They fed him. The 5,000, and there was all this leftover, and they wanted to make him king. Jesus sensed that they wanted to make him king, so he withdrew to the mountain. That's an important little thing, because I think what it sets up the picture of, it sets up a possible mirror for us to see ourselves in this way, and it's not the most complimentary way to put it. They saw signs, and they interpreted the sign that Jesus did about the multiplication of loaves, not through the eyes of faith, but through the hunger in their bellies. And I think that's one of the basic discernments in John's gospel we're called to, is what's the difference? What's the difference between faith and hunger? Okay. This week, we just heard it. The characters came across the Sea of Galilee. We missed the section where Jesus walks on the water, gets in the boat, and they're suddenly at land. And here we are. And this dialogue goes on back and forth between them. I just want to walk through the discussion because I think, at least for me, it's holding up a mirror to say, take a look. And the question is, what do we hunger for? In other words, what do we seek? Is it that which perishes or that which endures?
Okay.
So that's kind of the theme of this, I guess you'd say. Okay. They ate their fill. They wanted to make him king. What kind of king? The king that says, you will give me everything I need. You will fill up my accounts. You will take away my emptiness, all that stuff like that. You will be our king. And remember, the only place we see Jesus accepting the title as king is on the cross. Don't think they wanted that kind of king. And I'm not sure I want that kind of king most of the time myself. How about you? When they look for Jesus, he comes and confronts them. You are not looking for me. You are looking for me not because you saw the sign, because you ate the loaves and were filled. That's about hunger, isn't it? And then it says, do not work for food that perishes, but for food that endures for eternal life. So let's think for a moment about the effects of hunger in our lives. I'm talking about existential hunger, where we find ourselves wanting or longing and are never filled. There's never enough. Gal, this has been my theme for all my life. There's not enough. God, you haven't given me enough grace for me too. Family and friends, you have not given me enough confidence, hope, ways of dealing with the world. You have not given me enough. There's a sense of emptiness. There's a sense of something's missing that hunger points to, I find. And if we can notice it, it's a daring thing to notice this, but there's an implicit demand to God to fill that. And though we might be really nice little boys and girls when we pray, oh God, please give me this, or please take away that, have you ever noticed the part of the demand that says, where are you? Why are you leaving me empty, hungry? So I was just hearing somebody, I don't remember where it was exactly, but saying that all our hungers are oriented toward God, but so much of our lives they go, take a left turn, take a right turn, go this way, that way. And so a lot of us find ourselves in the situation of using things and other people to fill that hunger. Here's the litany. You've heard it before. Alcohol, drugs, sex, shopping, overeating, video games, sports, TV, overworking, to numb out so we don't feel the hunger. Or to try to fill it and it just goes away. It's not enough because it does not endure. Reputation. Religion. All kinds of stuff. Hero worship. And so they ask him, what sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? And they mention the thing about the manna. And Jesus says, for the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And their response is, give us this always. Be our king. Take away the edge of hunger so we won't need you. Don't you do that? I do that all the time, Mike. Goodness. Give us this bread always. And they just had it. And what they had was the physical bread, and it did not endure. And here they are asking for more, just like us. It's like I find a couple of my Jesuit friends have this celiac disease, which is an allergic reaction to wheat, oats, barley, and rye. And in doing so, in eating that stuff, it kind of paves the intestines so that the food comes in, but it never nourishes. Never nourishes. Take it in. Never nourishes. Take it in. Never nourishes. I think that's a nice analogy for a spiritual celiac in the world, in our church, in our country. The thing of always, there's not enough because there's no nourishment. And the key thing is this. They missed the giver for wanting the gift. I want spiritual independence. I want spiritual prowess. That's the gift. But where's the giver? That's the part I miss so often. Where's the giver? How do I find that relationship that is more enduring? So here's the last little bit. The signs that Jesus does throughout the gospel and that's going to go into the bread of life are not singular things. They're not isolated little events, nor are the titles of Jesus. What? The Word, the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Bread of Life, the Light of the World, the spring of water flowing within, all that stuff. There's one person with many titles, so the Bread of Life gets to be, the question gets to be, what does it mean to believe in Jesus as the Bread of Life? It's not just assenting to Christ's presence in the gospel, but in John's gospel, it's in the Eucharist, it's the learning to abide in the heart of God. And therefore, to find that life which endures. So it's contemplative, it's Eucharistic. It's attention to the shepherd who leads. It's looking for the light that shines in our darkness. What does it mean for us today, for you, for me, to seek that which endures? And I just want to leave this with this last thought or two. Can the mystery of our own hyper need for security in our lives and in our country, due to the terror of human vulnerability, can that teach us about seeking what truly endures? Because I believe it's only in that place, mainly in that place at least, where we learn to abide in Jesus, who abides in the Father, who calls us into mutual indwelling. And whether it's Eucharistic or contemplative or leading or whatever, it's the one relationship to the Christ into whom we're called to abide. What does it mean to seek that which endures? Next week, Jesus will speak to that about the bread of life a lot more. That'd be a good thing to bring. Let's take a moment then to consider how we pray for our world and our church and for one another.